Brothers and sisters in UMC, I bring you greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust all of you are keeping well in spite of the MCO and the lockdown, as it were. I pray that God will continue to lead you on in a deeper, greater manner to seize every opportunity and make it count for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to let you know about the latest update with regards to our anniversary gift weekend. The amount we have received so far is 2,754,023 ringgit. Because the target, as we all know, is 5.5 million. And so for those who have given, contributed, I thank God for you. God bless you richly. For those who have not, friends, you know, let's respond. Because why, giving in UMC is always a joy, a blessing, a privilege, and truly an honor. And let us, friends, you know, in spite of the challenges, rise up to share, to give, and make ourselves and our gifts a real blessing to many, many, both here in Malaysia and around the whole world. Friends, as we are going through 2021 in this new year, I trust it has been a good start for you in spite of the challenges. And therefore, today, I want to speak on the whole area of running the race well in 2021 and beyond. I want to take this from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and let me read. Therefore, since you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you not grow weary and lose heart. Let us pray. Again, Father, we thank and praise you, O God, for the start of the new year. We are so grateful to you, Father, O God, for your love, mercy, grace, protection, provision for us. And Lord, I pray, our Father, O God, even as we journey through 2021, I pray, Father, you'll take your word, O God, today and speak to each one of us and draw us all in response. Father, I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. There's a man who broke the 4-minute mile in May 1954 by the name of Roger Bannister in Oxford. Never in history of the world, as it were, human beings have been able to run less than 4 minutes a mile. And he broke with a record of 3 minutes 59.4 seconds. But the following month, an Australian guy by the name of John Landy broke his record. He improved the mark by almost 2 seconds. His record was 3 minutes 57.9 seconds. And so the following month was the start of the British Empire and Commonwealth Games. And really everybody throughout the British Empire, in fact, throughout the whole world, excited to see two greatest runners of the mile competing with each other. And there they will get it in Vancouver, in July, August of 1954, running the minute mile, as it were, the miracle mile, it has been called. And so, friends, both of them started off well, and John Landy is such a good sprinter and runner, and he kept the pace and leading the race. And Roger Bannister is trying to keep up with him as much as possible. And then finally, at the final bend, when it came, in the last 100 meters, what happens was John Landy looked towards the left, but Roger Bannister passed by on his right and went on to run the race and finish the race. Friends, to the roar and the cheer of the whole crowd in the stadium of many, many people, including 100 million people watching it live on television, plus many more millions are listening on radio. So here's a photograph to show Roger Bannister overtaking John Landy on the right-hand side as he looked towards the left. And as a result of this very, very unique occasion, there's even a bronze statue that has been erected there in Vancouver commemorating this event that's witnessed by millions around the world. And you know what? John Landy himself said, Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt, whereas I looked back and became a bronze statue. But friends, here is a reminder to all of us, that in the race of life, we're going to make sure we run well and we finish well by God's grace. And so therefore, what can you and I do, for as a people of God, to make sure that as in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it tells us, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So how can we run the race well in 2021 and beyond? Firstly, friends, the encouragement you and I should be receiving. Why? Because in verse 1 again, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. See, friends, you and I, in this race of life, we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. Who are these witnesses? These are the saints of old, as we all know. For example, Hebrews 11 gives us a long list of the saints who have been running this race of life. People like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and so on and so forth. And that's why you and I need to go back to scriptures to learn from these amazing people. And that's how you know this, friends. Apostle Paul tells us like this in Romans 15 and verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. That's the purpose of scripture. It is to help us, remind us, encourage us, and challenge us on. And also, you notice, friends, Apostle Paul also writes to us, 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 11, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages have come. See, friends, it is only the teachers, instructors, but scripture is there to warn us as well about the many saints of old and how they run the race, and some did not run well indeed, okay, sadly. And this is where you and I must pick examples. Good example is that of Joseph, right? There he was betrayed by his brother, thrown into a pit, and then sold off as a slave, worked in Potiphar's household, but falsely accused and then thrown in prison. But friends, you know, in prison, Joseph eventually became, all right, the prime minister. As if from pit to prison to the palace. Friends, there are many precious lessons, but before that took place in the case of Joseph, it was a 13-year period of struggle and sorrow and pain. But friends, you know, these are precious lessons you and I should be learning, okay, from the saints of old. Not only learning from the saints of old to cheer us on, but also there's a people of God as well around us today to cheer us on, isn't it? And that's why, friends, can I say, it is so important for all of us to belong to a cell group, so that on a weekly basis, we can really cheer, encourage, inspire one another, on besides, of course, our weekend worship celebrations. You need to be connected as much as possible, isn't it? So that, friends, as a people of God, we continue to help, all right, urge on, all right, in our journey of faith and this race of life together. But friends, you know, can I say, it is not just encouragement that you and I should be receiving from one another, but sometimes the encouragement we should also be offering to other people around us as well. Because sometimes we think we're in needs and great need. Can I say, there are many more outside in greater needs you and I need to be aware of. Here, for example, is a video of a group of foreign students in Xiamen University that we have helped. And here's a video, right, to remind us about the help we've offered to them and the privilege and the joy that we have like this.
Hello, everyone, at the Damansara Autonomous Methodist Church, Senior Pastor Chris Kam, Founding Senior Pastor Dato Dr. Daniel Muho and Mr. Sito, the students Ethan Lau, Ewan, and Nicholas, as well as everyone else who helped put this together. On behalf of Xiamen University, I would like to say thank you for the support that you've given us.
Saya ingin memberitahu bahwa apa yang telah Anda lakukan untuk membantu kita semua sangat berharga di mata kami.
Мы хотим, чтобы вы знали, что те продукты и та еда, которую вы нам предоставили, очень помогло мне и всем международным студентам. Многие смогли сэкономить, где-то сохранить. Особенно это касается тех, кто сейчас в трудном финансовом положении.
Хабар и бум дорогие денежки и аргенти, чтобы жены кучу шаду жены чил, где-то и акта сумой, чтобы и бесишко интернациональный студента, артик бабе акта душумой паркуте.
And especially during this time where we've been, you know, kind of boxing for a while, everything's been going flimsy with the economies and whatnot. We'd like to help you because this, oh, we'd like to thank you because with this help, you assisted us. We've been able to save up some money, and it's also covered up some costs, especially if we're having, for some students who might be having some financial issues.
أريد أن أتقدم لكم بجزيل الشكر لما أديتموه من تعاطف ومساندة خلال هذه الفترة العصيبة. أود أن أفصح عن مدى تقديري لما قدمتموه لنا من وجبات ومقتنيات فقد مكننا هذا من الادخار لنفقات أخرى
Je veux que vous sachiez à quel point nos actions ce que vous nous avez offert.
এই সুযোগে ক্যাম্পাসের আবহাওয়া উল্লেখযোগ্যভাবে উন্নত হয়েছে। স্টুডেন্টরা বেশ কিছুদিন পর একতা এবং আশার ছোঁয়া পেয়েছে।
তুই للطلبة التي يعانون من بعض الصعوبات المادية لقد مثلت بادراتكم هذه نعمة حقيقية للجميع
Reading this time period, we felt a lot of hope, especially because we thought this time hope has been bigger, but with your assistance, the move on campus has been slightly uplifted.
Lebih dari itu, banyak dari kami yang menghadapi masalah finansial dan bantuan grocery dan makanan itu sangat membantu biaya kehidupan kami per bulanan. Dengan bantuan Anda, situasi di kampus menjadi lebih baik dan mood kami menjadi lebih baik juga. Dan kami sangat berterima kasih atas bantuan Anda.
Это действительно было истинное благословение. С вашей помощью в кампусе в целом у всех студентов появилось настроение, так как у нас давно не было никаких событий. И каждый студент в какой-то степени получил надежду от ваших двух проявленных инициатив.
Avec votre aide, l'ambiance sur le campus c'est considérablement améliorée. Ce qui ne s'est pas produit depuis longtemps, les étudiants ont ressenti la touche d'espoir que les deux dernières initiatives ont.
Here, friends, right, is an example of not just encouragement to receive, but encouragement to give to other people around. But secondly, also, friends, here is a reminder to all of us of the entanglements that you and I must guard in this race of life. And so the second half of verse 1, right, the writer writes, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What are some of the entanglements that if we're not careful can trip us over and prevent us from running this race well, and worse still, sometimes not even finishing at all? Things like commonly, as we all know, money, sex and power. All right, misuse of money. In the case of sex, involved in inappropriate relationship with the opposite sex, or that of power, abuse of power or position. This can cripple us and stop us in this race of life if not careful. I would not want to deal with, because it's commonly talked about, I want to deal with other kinds of entanglements that you and I must watch for. What are some of the other entanglements that we must watch for? Firstly, friends, the whole area of resentment and anger in our life. Why? Because maybe we've been hurt or betrayed or played out or abused or exploited. And as a result, we become very angry in our life, full of bitterness. Friends, you know, these are things, if we don't deal with it, it can really hold us back in this race of life. And I've seen a number of people like this, sadly being crippled in the process. Why? Because they're constantly wallowing in the bitterness, in the anger. You've heard me say many times, life is not what we eat. Life is what eats us. And we can be eaten from the inside out by anger, resentment, bitterness, and hatred. Friends, how do we handle this, deal with this? Apostle Paul gives us the answer in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 13. Paul writes, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. See, the way to handle this is to learn to forgive. I know it's hard, it's painful. But friends, it is needed. And this is where scripture teaches us very clearly why. Because we ourselves are forgiven by God in Jesus Christ. And therefore, because we've forgiven in the first place, you and I, especially the people of God, must learn to forgive other people. Because otherwise, this can hold us back really in this race of life that we're running in 2021 and beyond as well. A second area is guilt and shame. Things that we've done wrong. Things that we feel so bad about, that we are ashamed of ourselves. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? And therefore, there's a sense of self-condemnation in us, therefore. But friends, you know, this is also an entanglement that can hold us back and keep us from running this race of life. You and I need to be reminded in Scripture what Apostle Paul says to us in this whole guilt and shame that we need to wrestle with, as it were, that there's a sense of despair and condemnation. Why? Because Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. See, friends, amazing thing. You and I as a people of God, right? We've been forgiven of our sins, whatever wrongs and guilt and shame we may have. Christ has come and set us free from it all through his death on the cross. So, friends, you know, this condemnation has been removed from us in God's mercies and grace so that we stand free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's so important, isn't it? So is there any sense of guilt and shame in you, my friends? Come before God honestly and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm so sorry for all that I've done. I repent. Lord God, come and cleanse me. Lead me on in a new manner as you forgive and cleanse me so that I'll be able to be freed from this kind of entanglement that is crippling me from living a life that is honoring and pleasing before you. Friends, you know, there is such wonderful joy and freedom that's available in Christ. So don't live in that kind of condemnation and despair whatsoever. That's the third area, all right, that if you're not careful, it can entangle us, which is the area of anxiety, worry, or fear, isn't it? Especially in a period like this, when COVID-19 is hitting us like crazy in Malaysia, isn't it? As much as also around many, many parts of the world. And as a result, we are fearful, we are concerned, we are anxious about our health, about our safety, our security, and our future. And in the midst of all these things, it is deeply troubling, isn't it? All right, for you and I to also begin to discover how these things have spread just more and more like this. And so therefore, we are in a sense of helplessness and maybe even hopelessness, as it were. But friends, you and I, this is where you and I turn to the Lord and allow God to minister to us in a wonderful manner so that in mercies and God's grace, he will break through to deal with our anxiety and our worry. And so, for example, Jesus says to us like this to address our worries and anxieties. And so Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, as well as 28 to 30, Jesus says like this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Friends, here Jesus addressing our worry or our anxiety. At the heart of it, you know, friends, what is Jesus saying? Right? At the heart of it is lack of faith. It is unbelief. It is not trusting in this good God who cares for all of us. And this is what basically Jesus is trying to tell us. Right? We are anxious and concerned. Why? Because we want to be in charge and in control. Friends, can we hand over to him and trust that he's a good God? He knows and is concerned for ourselves, our life, and our future. And that's why Apostle Paul writes to us to remind us about what do we do and how should we respond in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Friends, in fact, this is one of the most underlined verses in the whole of Scripture, really. And it's so important, you and Andrew, to lay hold of, here's a promise of God, that for all of us, we are told not to be anxious about anything whatsoever, but in all things, all right, by prayer and thanksgiving, present our requests, our concerns, our anxieties, our worries, our fears to him, and allow the peace of God to take over our hearts and our lives. Friends, you know, this is so important point because you and I have got a God who cares for us and who loves us deeply. And this is why we need to grow in confidence, in faith, and in trust in this living God. So that although we have not know what the future holds, but you and I know who holds the future. It is God in Jesus Christ who holds the future and holds our lives in his hands, isn't it? And so therefore we can trust him, friends, all right, each step of the day and not live in fear, but in faith, all right, and in joy, in gratitude and thanksgiving to God. And that's so important, my friends, for you and I to grapple with, all right, as we journey through 2021 and beyond as well. But there's a fourth area, friends, of entanglement. If we're not careful, it can also cripple us. And this is one of disappointment or disillusionment. Why? Maybe sometimes we feel that God is not answering our prayers. And so we begin to doubt the goodness of God. We begin to doubt whether God is really in charge and control, isn't it? We become disillusioned, all right? Because in so many things we wanted to do, we faint again and again, we face failure, we face all kinds of obstacles and difficulties. And we have prayed like crazy, and how come our prayers seemingly not answered? And so, friends, sometimes we become really, really disappointed, if not even upset with God. And some people, you know what, hold this against God. And as a result, they begin to slowly, if not careful, begin to spiral downwards. And there's something you and I must guard. Friends, in a holier prayer, this is where faith comes. We trust and believe that He's still a good God in spite of whatever. Why? Because, can I say this, friends? Even the prayer of Jesus wasn't answered. For example, when He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, facing the cross before Him. You see? And then in the garden, Jesus prayed to God the Father, take this cup from me, meaning this cup of suffering, all right? Take this suffering. Why? Because Jesus had a cross right in front of him, the impending cross. Jesus said, Father, take this cup away from me, this suffering away from me, but not my will, yours be done. Did the Father answer the prayer? Thank God the Father did not. Why? Because had Jesus not go to the cross, you and I are still in our sin. There's no future, no hope for us at all, isn't it? And so, friends, I need to trust Him. And so why He didn't sometimes answer our prayers? To believe that He is still good in spite we don't see everything. God sees everything, and trust Him that at the end, one day, we believe we know. Why is it certain prayers are not answered at that point of time, but sometimes much, much later? Friends, God sees the whole picture. We don't. So we trust Him, right? And when they believe He's still a good God and press on to live for Him. You see, sometimes over the same thing, one can end up becoming very disappointed, disillusioned, but the other person ends up journeying on and trusting God and pressing on. So it's to do with our response, right? If we respond wrongly, we become crippled and spiral down. But when we respond correctly, friends, we press on in faith, in faithfulness, trusting, believing that God will bring good out of it all. Because it's a promise of God for all of us, isn't it? That in all things, God will work out for good for those who love Him and call according to His purpose. In Romans 8:28, isn't it? And so, friends, you and I are called, therefore, to make sure that is this entanglement of lives. Let's not allow these to really, hinder us and prevent us from running this race well in 2021 and beyond. But there's a final thing, friends, for all of us. How can we run this race well in 2021 and beyond? The third thing is example to follow. What is an example? We are told, first part of verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The example is the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And the amazing thing is that we're not left hanging on our own. We're not left struggling our own to try to run this race, friends. All right? Besides the many saints of old, there is also Jesus Christ who stands that supreme example for every one of us in this race of life. So what are the lessons we can learn from Jesus as you run this race? Firstly, friends, you notice Jesus sees beyond the cross to the joy before Him. Why? Because the first part of verse 2, who for the joy set before endured the cross. See, amazingly, Jesus sees beyond the cross, beyond the pain, right, to that of the joy that He's going to inherit, He's going to share in. And that's what you and I challenge my friends to do likewise, as people of God. Don't just look at the problem and only see problem. See beyond it as to, for example, what is God teaching me? All right, say in this pandemic, for example, what is God teaching me? He's teaching me about trust. He's teaching me about humility. He's teaching about faith. He's teaching me about the value of relationships, isn't it? How we value one another in the family of God, but also relationship with people outside who are yet to be part of a family of God. How we need to relate to them, right? Share with them. Because why? If we have fear, you can imagine how much more fear these people have when they don't have the living God in them, isn't it? And so, church, you and I, therefore, as a people of God, need to see beyond, right, to the pain, but beyond that to the gain we could have eventually like this, learning from the example of Jesus. Not only he sees beyond the cross to the joy, but secondly, Jesus is not ashamed in what he goes through in his life. Why? Because, again, he is scorning its shame. Right, Jesus would not allow the shame, including the pain, right, to hold him down and to cripple him from finishing the journey, from finishing the call of God upon his life. as it came down to this earth. And so likewise, you and I got to ask ourselves, are we sometimes ashamed? Ashamed, for example, even bear witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And it's so important, why? Because you and I know only the gospel of Christ can change lives, transform society. And so we've got to double up to continue, right? Not to be ashamed at all whatsoever about making Jesus known as much as possible. I think just 2 weeks ago, of a couple who came to see me, in fact, the man was my former student, right, that I taught him in engineering before. And he came with his wife together with his son, who is now today 22 years old, right, to meet with me. And first time meeting, right, this student of mine, after almost 40 years later. And just good to see and connect with him, okay, like this. And then shared with me honestly about the struggles they have in the relationship with their husband and wife. And we just went on and on for quite a bit of time, really. They're all not Christians. After hearing from them, I honestly said to them, you know what, my friends, really only Jesus can help you in your situation. He wants to, really. He has helped me likewise. And since coming to faith in Jesus Christ, as a Christian myself, I've really experienced the grace, goodness, and the blessings of God. He wants you to do the same likewise in both your lives and the relationship. Would you like to do that? I want to really pray for you, because He can and He will, as He steps into your life, if you allow Him, to begin to see change and transformation taking place. Is it okay? And the former student said, yeah, okay, sure. And the son, yes, also. But the wife said, fine, your prayer. So I led him in the prayer, and the man and the son followed me in the prayer to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay, and at the end, after leading the faith in Christ, I pray for them, pray for the relationship, pray for the business, pray for God's blessings upon them. That even the business is doing very well, okay, by the grace of God, they need God's grace upon them in their lives and the relationship. And what a joy it was really for me, isn't it? To make Jesus known and to draw them to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, and begin to pray for them, see them growing in the faith in the Lord. And that's what you and I must do, friends. Like Jesus, scorning its shame, unashamed in what he's going through. Why? Because wherever Jesus goes, you notice, he seeks to touch our changed lives and transform the community and people around them like this, you see. And so you and I need to double up, friends, in these times and seasons we are in, when everybody's under lockdown, we must seek ways and means to connect with people through the internet, through our phone, right, to email, to whatever manner and form that God has given to us today like this. Not only, finally, friends, the example of Jesus is that he endures the opposition. And so in verse 3, it says, consider him endure such opposition from sinful men, so that you not grow weary and lose heart. See, Jesus stood firm in spite of all the challenges and everything thrown against him. He refused to give up. And thank God for the example Jesus sets for all of us. And that's what he is calling us to do likewise like this as a people of God. Why is it so important? All right, in the whole area, enduring and persevering all the way to the end. You notice, friends, James tells us in James chapter 1 and in verse 4, perseverance must finish its work so that you mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, friends, in the challenges and opposition we face as we press on, endure and persevere, it says here that perseverance, when it does its work, it brings about maturity. It brings about completeness and wholeness in our lives. That increasingly, friends, you know what? We become just more and more Christ-like. And that's a call of God, to increase and become like the Lord Jesus Christ, the way God has put us in. It may not be easy. There are huge challenges and dangers to us as well. But we trust Him, believing that He's a good God in whatever we go through like this. That as much as Jesus goes through this opposition, I look to Him as an example likewise. We never know, can never predict, but we trust Him that He's a good God. Let me close with this example. Exactly 22 years ago to this very day, there's a man by the name Graham Staines, originally from Australia, who went to India, right, to work and serve amongst the lepers and the really poor of society there in this part of India. Worked really very hard, met his wife there and started serving that kind of, got in the process, blessed him with 3 little children. And Graham, together with his wife Gladys, faithfully pressed on in serving, right? Week in, week out, month in, month, year in, year out, like this. And then a number of years later, all right, in his work ministry, he had to travel to another place for a camp that they had put together, believe he's probably one of the speakers at that camp. And then in driving there, they decided to overnight in this small little town in India before moving on finally to the destination at that camp. And then they slept there for the night after a long journey, really tired about it, that kind of thing. But you know, friends, in the middle of the night, or early hours in the morning, as Graham, together with two sons at that time, Philip was 10 and Timothy was 6, sleeping there, right, in the four-wheel drive, okay, van. A mob of Hindu guys descended on them and set the whole van on fire. Tragically, as they were trying to escape, the mob there stopped them and did everything possible and said, you know what, Graham and the two sons were literally burnt alive. It became a horror news all across India, indeed across the whole world, that took place the 23rd of January, 1999. Shocked the whole world indeed, okay, that this kind of thing could happen like this. You know what happens, friends? In the midst of the pain and the grief and the opposition they faced, the wife finally stood up and said to everybody around, including television reporters, "It is hard, it is painful. It is really one whereby my heart is broken." But she said, you know what, me and my daughter, and the daughter's eldest of the three children, as at the time 13, me and my daughter, we choose today to forgive those who have murdered my husband and my two sons. Painful indeed for us all, but the way forward for our lives is to choose to forgive them. Gladys went on working there in India. And eventually, of course, when the daughter grew up, what happens is they went back to Australia for Esther to further her studies. And so here's a picture of Graham and the children. And here's a van, burnt, right, charred, completely like this. And now here's a picture, okay, of Gladys and the daughter. Today, the daughter would be something 35 years old, probably married and having a family of her own. But friends, you know what? They will not allow the opposition, the threats, intimidation, and everything else to stop them from moving on with God, living for God, serving Him, and glorifying the name. As to this event that has happened, that is tragic, as it were. But friends, we trust God that whatever it is, that Graham and the true children have run the race well, all right, they're in the presence of God. And one day we in Christ will see Him also likewise, friends. And there's a call of God upon all of us. Through good times, difficult times, let's look to Jesus, who's a pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him, scorning its shame, all right? And there He was, seated at the right hand of God, considering who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you and I will not grow weary or lose heart. Let's press on, my friends, in 2021 and beyond, so that by the grace of God, with God's strength and help, He is there to enable us to run this race and finish it well, to the glory of God. Let us pray. I want to pray for all of us as we run this race of life in 2021 and beyond, that God will help enable us indeed to run it well. Father, I pray You help every one of us, Lord. Here in UMC, whoever else is listening in, Father, I pray that You fill us by Your power and Your Spirit, O God, and enable us, O God, in the journey of faith in this race of life to continue to press on in running, looking to You, Lord Jesus Christ, all the time, who is our pioneer and perfecter of our faith. But also thank You, Lord, that You've given us a family of Yours to cheer us on, that many saints of old that we can read of and learn and understand the many precious lessons from them, both the blessings and the joys, but also the sufferings, O God, and the pain and the mistakes they made, so that we will not, O God, make the same mistakes, O God, our Father, we pray. But also with brothers and sisters around us today, Lord, I pray that we will continue to cheer us on in this race of life, so that we will be a constant encouragement to one another. Help us all, for those yet to belong to a cell group, to go to one, so that we continue connected with one another, O God. But teach us also to reach out to others, to serve, to share, to bless, O God. In the midst, our Father, O Lord Jesus Christ, of this lockdown, this pandemic, we know, Father, there's a lot of fear, worry, anxiety around. Help us to reach out to them. But help us to deal with it ourselves if there is any anxiety, worry, or fear in us. If there is any disappointment, disillusionment, O God, any, our Father, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, who have bitterness and anger, or any, Father, guilt and shame, help us to bring it to the foot of the cross and deal with it, O God. Every bit of this, Father, I pray, so that truly, oh God, we pray, Father, we'll be able to experience breakthroughs and victories in Lord Jesus, so that we'll move on, oh God, so that no entanglement will prevent us, Father. I pray, oh God, for running this race of life well. So help us all, Father, I pray, oh God, so that 2021 will be a great year for us as we come to the end, or eventually, Father, we pray, and we look forward towards 2022 and beyond as well, trusting you, oh God, that we'll press on, Father, in this journey of faith and this race of life. I want to pray for those of us who have yet to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That you have not taken a step of faith, I want to pray for you right now. That you're going to say yes to Jesus. He is there to help you, to journey with you, to enable you to live a life of breakthrough, so that whatever challenges you face, even in the midst of certain entanglements you may have, He wants to help you to have a breakthrough. And so today you'd like to trust in Christ. Would you follow after me this prayer as I lead you? Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your love for me. I want to acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus Christ, you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Come right now into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit and your power. Give me your love, peace, and joy. And help me, Father, I pray, oh God, to journey through, Father, I pray, 2021 and beyond, with faith and trust in you, knowing that you're a God who is good, oh God. So, Father, I pray you'll bless each one. Those who prayed this prayer of faith, Father, I pray, lead him on, oh God, I pray, to be connected into UMC. They'll be followed up well, so that, Father, I pray, they belong, oh God, to your family, as well as to yourself, where you can learn and grow. Be blessed as well as your blessing, Father, for all these precious ones, oh God, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, for those who prayed that prayer to accept Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior, will you click the button on raise hand? All right, click it, okay, so that we know, okay, and then we want to connect with you really, all right, to help you and follow you up in the life of UMC. The rest of all of us, God bless you richly. Have a great 2021 and all that's going